This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Kolarik with a 1-2. And struck him out. You heard Mookie say, oh, can't believe that was a strike, but that's how the ball game ends. Tampa Bay comes to Fenway, and they win 3 out of 4. 6-1 the final. Yeah, they hit home runs, but so much of that was about their outstanding starting pitching.
All right, so here's what we're going to do tonight, because obviously there's a lot going on in the Red Sox world. We'll open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985. I know a couple of you are already on the line and want to talk about David Ortiz, and with good reason. I mean, it's a terrifying story with what is being reported out of the Dominican Republic right now, starting last night, concerning David Ortiz being shot by an assassin, for lack of a better term, while at a bar with a couple of friends. And, you know, there have been developing stories here with regard to Ortiz, him flying back to Boston here to be treated at Mass General Hospital, according to Sam Kennedy, the president of the Red Sox. And so by all means, if you want to talk about David Ortiz, we will do that. And I want to get to Ortiz probably in the next segment. But if you're on the line and that's what's on your mind, by all means, 617-779-0985 is your phone number here on the Baseball Reporters. I do, however, want to begin with the baseball team, okay? I want to begin with the baseball team, and not because it's more important, because we all know that it isn't, but I said on Friday that the Red Sox needed to take 3 out of 4 from the Rays, that a split wasn't good enough given where they have been this season and the types of things that have gone on really from the very beginning. Instead, they lost 3 out of 4. And so further evidence that this team is showing no signs of waking up, and that, frankly, that it might be a lost season. And do you know, Murray, we now have an intern on the Baseball Reporters, specifically assigned to the Baseball Reporters.
Oh.
This is one of my job shadows from last year. He's a student at Colgate now. I had him do a little research for me this morning, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show, concerning where the Red Sox are after 66 games, because they're 34-32. And that is not a small sample. 34-32 after 66 games. So Cam did some work for us there. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show as well. But here's where I want to start, okay? Losing is bad enough. Losing is bad enough for a team with a $240 million payroll coming off a 108-win season and World Series championship. 119 wins when you lay it all out there. Losing is bad enough. That's number one. But when you lose the way the Red Sox are losing, oh, man, if you didn't see any of these games over the weekend, you're lucky. You are a lucky person, because the quality of play, frankly, stinks. The Red Sox are the worst of all things right now. They're average and they're boring. And the other thing is, when they lose, boy, is the baseball bad. Boy, can the baseball be really bad. So there were a couple of innings that struck me from the weekend, not because they're great audio or not because they were especially, you know, entertaining, because of the sheer ineptitude of them, okay? The sheer ineptitude of these two innings. One of them was on Saturday. The Red Sox were already down at the time 4-1. Colton Brewer came into that game in the middle innings. Colton Brewer. So it was the first game of a doubleheader. Alex Cora was not going to, quote unquote, chase a win. So he brought Colton Brewer into the game. And hopefully you'll be able to follow this, but over the span of about 4 batters or so, here's what happened.
And that's going to be ball 4. So Meadows is on for the third time. Runner takes off on the payoff pitch, and that's going to be down low for ball 4. So back-to-back walks here. Bounding ball is Chavis. He'll sling it toward second. safe there. That pulled Bogaerts off the bag, and everybody's going to be safe.
Now, what Bogaerts was expecting from the positioning was a throw inside. He wanted the ball inside. You could see him put the arm out, and Chavis threw it to the outfield side, and that pulled him off the bag. So we got some trouble here brewing in this inning.
No place to put the cleanup man. 0-2. And he swung and missed. It gets away. Here comes the run. That went all the way to the backstop. And a run comes in to score as Garcia strikes out.
A check swing, but not a check. He did go around. Strike out. Ball gets by Leon. Run comes in. It's been that kind of afternoon so far.
Okay, so what happened in that inning? Walk, walk. Error on first base. Wild pitch. Run scored. The Rays did nothing to earn that run. Nothing. Walk, walk, error, wild pitch, or pass ball, however it was. I don't even remember how it was officially scored. Not that it matters. Ineptitude. Utter, complete ineptitude. Colton Brewer and Michael Chavis, granted, doesn't play first base a lot, but all he had to do was throw the ball inside to Bogaerts and get a double play, get out of it. Instead, they give up a run. That's number one. Then there was yesterday. The Red Sox got behind in the first inning. In the first inning, they got behind. They put men at second and third with nobody out in the bottom of the first. Second and third with nobody out in the bottom of the first, still with a chance to salvage a split. This happened.
Payoff pitch. Oh. And he got him. Put him away with a breaking ball. 0-2 again. And he struck him out with an off-speed pitch on the cut and the miss. Fire on down to first to get him. Back-to-back K's there by Snell when he was in trouble. And the 0-2. Oh. And he struck him out. Came back to fan. Three in a row when in trouble. Oh.
You hear Eck twice. Eck's like, oh. 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 Over and over. Saturday, walk, walk, error, wild pitch. Sunday, they get 2-1. Nobody out. Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. And I know it's Blake Snell on the mound. Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. That is wretched, wretched situational baseball. Your pitchers can't throw strikes. Your batters can't put the ball in play. That sucks. So that you can call it average for a team with a $240 million payroll? Inexcusable. We'll get to your phones here. Ben's in Westminster. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi, Tony. I just had a quick question for you. I'm a big Alex Cora fan for the most part, but one thing that drives me crazy with him is him sitting starters on rubber match games. I don't know why he keeps punting on these big series-type games. I mean, you're trying to split with Tampa at the very least there, and their lineup looks like a Triple-A lineup last night. So I just want, or yesterday afternoon. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, Ben, you're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong again. And Peter Abraham wrote about this in the Globe. We'll get to this column a little bit later, too, because Pete Abe, if you haven't been reading him of late, Pete Abraham in the Globe now is writing more opinion and analysis as a baseball columnist. Honestly, I think he's doing a tremendous job. He's all over this team. Okay, he wrote yesterday, Cora fielded a lineup that looked like something from a spring training road game. Vasquez hit second for the first time in his career. Chavis, who's been overmatched for the better part of 3 weeks, batted cleanup. Nunez was batting fifth, followed by Sam Travis. The Red Sox get smoked. They couldn't score against Blake Snell. They lose. Devers, who's probably been the best player on the team all year, other than Bogaerts. I take that back. Bogaerts has been better, but Devers, because it was left on left, didn't play. Benintendi, I think, was out of the lineup too, right? Benintendi's another one who can't hit lefties, so he didn't play. So the Red Sox are fading in the standings, and Cora decides to give everybody the day off. Along with the injuries they have, J.D. Martinez has back spasms. Steve Pierce is on the DL. Mitch Moreland back on the DL. So they're banged up on top of it now. Oh, and by the way, Nathan Eovaldi's not coming back anytime soon either because he had a setback. The Red Sox are in trouble, folks. They're in trouble. And I know that's not necessarily the first thing on your mind today for obvious reasons. Dan's in New Hampshire on the David Ortiz story. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, hey, man. I just wanted to comment on earlier on your show with Felger and Maz. You had somebody call in that said that Nesson was just reporting the David Ortiz press conference. press conference.
Yeah, so Dan, I'm going to stop you there. It was Alan in Florida, and he said that Alan watches the show on NBC Sports Boston. He said that NBC Sports Boston switched over live to the press conferences at Fenway about Ortiz, and that Nesson didn't do it until later. Alan in Florida criticized Nesson for not carrying the David Ortiz presser with Red Sox executives in a more prompt manner. Okay, so, you know, again, to me, we didn't make that decision here. The TV producers did, and the TV people up in Burlington did. We are a radio show first, and then the simulcast is carried on NBC Sports Boston. They carried the Ortiz presser. That's what the call was about. Pat's on the South Shore on David Ortiz. Go ahead, Pat.
I just want to throw some food for thought out there on the Ortiz situation. I think there might be some truth to him pissing off some people down there. If this was an assassination attempt, then I think the person would have probably shot him in the head or shot more than one time. Seems like there was more of a message being sent for something, either being an activist or speaking out or sleeping with someone's girlfriend.
Okay, so Pat, you covered a lot of ground there, but there are a lot of different elements in the story. And since you brought it up, the Daily Mail out of the UK wrote a story this afternoon indicating that, or speculating that this was indeed a hit on Ortiz because there was a drug lord in the Dominican who believed that Ortiz was having an affair with his wife. And I am reading to you now directly from the Daily Mail. Okay. Police in the Dominican Republic believe former Red Sox star David Big Papi Ortiz was shot by two cops hired by a Dominican Republic drug lord who believed the baseball player was having an affair with his wife. DailyMail.com has learned. Okay. That was reported in the Daily Mail. There is no name of the drug lord or anything of the like, and I should tell you that a representative for Ortiz, a spokesman, Leo Lopez, denied that the shooting had anything to do with a woman, but said it was an act of, quote, hired killers. Said Lopez, there is no doubt that it was an act of hired killers. That's what he said. Now, the ultimate cause for the incident, who the heck knows? Not that anything could ever justify it. But it's a. If you haven't seen the video of the story, or the incident, rather, I should say, on Twitter or anywhere else on the internet, it's all over the place now. In fact, I heard Beto mention today on the Midday Show that I think they picked it up on CBS News. So it's now airing on the national news. But Ortiz is seated at a table with a couple of friends. His back is to the door. Someone walks in the door and shoots him in the back. And it was initially suggested last night that it was a robbery gone wrong or in the midst of a robbery. It wasn't. When you see this video, you know there's no question the person walked in with the intention of shooting David Ortiz. Now, why? I suspect that as this goes on, we're going to hear a lot of things that we're not necessarily going to like or necessarily want to hear. But, Murray, who is it? You said there was a rapper with Ortiz, too, right?
Yeah, and there was a couple of calls that came into the Midday Show, too, that you know, that people that live in the area have family down in the Dominican, and what they've heard is that the actual target was a rapper by the name of Secreto, and this guy in his some of his music has talked a lot of trash and has this beef with other people, and that's who the shooter was actually going for. But again, if you've seen this surveillance video or the video that's, you know, that attached to the place where they're all having drinks and smoking cigars before the shooting happened, I think it's clear as day. The guy that comes behind Ortiz is aiming at Ortiz on purpose. It's a hit on David Ortiz.
I don't think there's any question. Again, if you haven't seen the video, you know, it's disturbing. It's frightening. It's terrifying. I've only been to the Dominican Republic once. Okay. And it was a long time ago, about a dozen years ago, maybe even a little bit more. Because I was working on a book with Ortiz at the time. So I'll try to fill in some of the gaps for you a little bit on what the culture is like in the Dominican Republic, and we'll continue with your phone calls when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got the phone call yesterday, last night. I don't know. It's just one thing about David, you know, he's strong. He has no fear. He never showed weaknesses. So because of that reason, the Lord will be with him. For us that believe, you know, just pray for him. Keep your positive vibes. This guy is, I always said that he's bigger than life, you know, David. Like, that vibe he brought in on a daily basis to those teams, and what he brings anytime I see him, you know, that smile. You know, he give you a hug, a big smile. He does it with everybody.
That's Alex Cora over at Fenway Park. Obviously, that's the topic of the day over there. Baseball takes a back seat on a day like today for obvious reasons. And David Ortiz, I just asked Murray this off the air. Murray, he is actually en route now to Boston already. Is that right?
You know, as of 6 o'clock when I did the last update, I was looking at Channel 5 and a few other news stations that had tweeted that he had been put on a small plane that was taking off momentarily to come back to Boston. He is going to go to MGH.
Okay, so if he's not in the air, he's just about to get in the air, and he should be here sometime tonight, which is consistent with the reports. And he'll be treated at Mass General Hospital, again, according to Sam Kennedy. And I know a lot of people are acting as if David Ortiz, you know, has already avoided the worst. And I honestly, I'm just cautioning you. I'm not sure we know that yet. So I think we all hope that. And he's got a road ahead of him here. This is no small thing. You know, he got shot, but he's like, this isn't Plaxico Burress shooting himself in the foot and then coming back and being, you know, this is a different scenario here. When you heard Alex Cora there, and I mention this only because I've been to the Dominican once. I did Ortiz's first book with him. And I went down to see him there for a few days and spent some time in Santo Domingo. And let me just tell you that you get off the plane and it is striking, particularly from someone who grew up in Boston and, you know, in a middle-class environment, but I did not have the toughest upbringing growing up. You get off the plane there, it's a different world. It's a different world. I mean, the Dominican, and you know, and again, I can't tell you, I've been to a third world nation, but it feels like one. And I personally never felt, quote unquote, unsafe while I was there, but I don't need to tell you all the stories that are in the news now about people who vacationed in Punta Cana and other places in the Dominican and are mysteriously dying down there, okay, be it from whatever reason. So safety down there has become a major concern, and Ortiz himself has expressed concern recently about his safety down there. And if you see the video of this hit, because that's what it was, you'll have no doubt that whoever it was walked in there with the idea of shooting David Ortiz in the back. Okay, you'll have no doubt if you see the video. And I will just tell you that personally, with regard to Ortiz, we've lost touch over the years ever since I started doing talk radio. At one time, I got to know him pretty well, and I would say we were reasonably close, as much as a reporter and a player for the Red Sox could be. But what Alex Cora said there, first of all, the people in many of those Caribbean nations, and specifically Dominican Republic, Cora obviously is Puerto Rican, but they're intensely religious, and there is also a kinship between the people that live on those islands. Whether you're from the Dominican or Puerto Rico or Aruba or Curacao, it doesn't matter. Even in Cuba, I would add in as well. There is a kinship there. Even to the, you know, the South Americans in Venezuela, like Eduardo Rodriguez, there's a certain kinship there. David Ortiz in the Dominican is gigantic. He and Pedro might be the two most famous people on the island. And so the idea that this could have been a case of mistaken identity or anything of the like is asinine, if you ask me. That's just my opinion now. And when I was closer to Ortiz, and I don't think he likes me very much anymore, and I can't say I blame him. Because when you get into talk radio, your job's to start speaking your mind. And it doesn't mean I dislike him or anything of the even remotely connected to that. But Alex Cora said it there. Ortiz was a larger-than-life figure. 100% true. When he walked into the room, you knew it, and not just because he was the most clutch hitter in Red Sox history. He had an infectious personality. He was a fun guy to be around. People liked being around him. He was a warm, engaging guy. Okay? And that's here. Down there, it's that times a million for him and Pedro both. And so you can imagine the trauma that this has caused down there societally in the Dominican Republic. Our buddy Cam's in Taunton. Cam, what do you got?
Maz, I mean, you just hit on it, and you guys did it at the end of the 2-6 program, too. I think this guy is a superhero in this city because, you know, I'm 23 years old. I grew up watching him. He's my hero. He's been my hero in terms of sports my whole life. And I think he really reached in 2013 when he gave that speech after the marathon and then how he performed that year and then giving that speech in the World Series. The guy literally, when you walk down the street, people would look at him and start following him because the guy is a larger-than-life figure, you would say. He's more popular, he's more well-liked than Tom Brady in this city, in my opinion. Because you can walk up to him on the sidewalk, I felt like, and you say, hey, man, and he'd give you a high-five back, and you guys can go have a beer together.
Okay, so, Kim, I'm going to stop you just because I have other people that want to get on, okay? And I will tell you that, you know, Brady's the most impactful athlete maybe in American sports history, for crying out loud. Like, you know, and again, that's even an exaggeration because of Muhammad Ali and people of the like. But certainly in terms of Boston, I don't think there's ever been anyone bigger than Brady when you factor in the modern era and everything else. But Ortiz, in this era especially, Murray, is there any doubt he's number two?
No, I mean, okay, you want to talk impact and stuff. Yes, it's Brady and then Ortiz. But I agree with Cam in terms of overall likability. Nobody's got anything bad to say about him. I think it's Ortiz and then a precipitous drop off, then Brady. It's Ortiz. He's baseball Santa Claus. He's like the living embodiment of Santa Claus in the city. He is.
And I can tell you that it's authentic.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
I think that's why he comes off as so genuine. That moment after the marathon bombing, this is our effing city. I mean, that came from the heart. That wasn't anything planned, you could tell.
Yeah, no. He's genuinely like that. Genuinely a very warm, outgoing, approachable, good-hearted guy. Now, again, there's no way to know what went on behind the scenes here that led up to this thing, if there's anything sordid or salacious or what have you. Maybe there is. I'm assuming that there is.
Even still, shooting him in the back was not warranted. I mean, it's just the unfortunate thing is in some areas of the world, life is cheap.
And thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because, down there, there's a little bit of a Wild West thing in the Dominican. I mean, it's... Again, just Google American tourists, Dominican Republic, and see what you come up with. Chris is in Providence with a good point. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch on the Daily Mail. I follow English Premier League soccer, and they're really well known for printing a lot of sensationalist rumors and unsubstantiated claims. So definitely with anything from them, I would kind of take all that with a heavy grain of salt. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Murray, you have any opinion on that part of it? Because I have one. Go ahead.
I generally tend to agree with him. They're one of like the eight websites I look at daily, the Daily Mail. But yeah, a lot of stuff is unsubstantiated, and it's very much like almost like an Inquirer in a lot of ways.
Okay, so what I will tell the caller, though, is that there is a quote from David Ortiz's spokesman saying there's no doubt in his mind that this was a hit. Okay, this was a hit. This was an assassination attempt. So just use common sense. Why would someone want David Ortiz dead? Okay, and there's got to, and again, I don't want you to misinterpret. I'm not justifying anything here. This is a terrifying story. Terrifying story. But there has to be layers to this thing that none of us know about.
No doubt.
At least not yet.
And it could be business deals gone wrong. Like, who knows? Like you said, it's like the Wild West in that area.
Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll come back. We'll go back to your calls. And I do want to get to Pete Abraham's column in the Boston Globe. Because if you haven't read it, because if you think I'm negative on the Red Sox, and you should, it's fine. I'm critical of the Red Sox. Particularly in a year like this. You got to read Peter Abraham today in the Globe. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
right now they're better than us, and we got to keep getting better. We got to keep working. We've been saying all along, better with men in scoring position, execute out of the bullpen, everything. Like I said, you know, Texas is playing well too. They're coming in tomorrow. It's a four-game series. We got to do what we're supposed to do.
So I know we're all over the map here, but again, a lot of ground to cover. We're going to have all week to do it, with the exception of Wednesday. Game 7, Bruins-Blues, right here on 98.5. We'll have an extended Felger and Maz on Wednesday, so no baseball reporters on Wednesday. But Alex Cora there, talking about the Rays series. They're better than us. They're better than us. Like, talk about the kind of comment that should resonate with his players. They're better than we are. I don't know, maybe he's trying to tweak him, and I don't blame him. Because Cora should be pissed with the way his team has played. Look, you didn't like the lineup yesterday. Who did? I mean, how can anybody look at that lineup and like it? But overall, the malaise that the team had coming on out of spring training was on Cora. The fact that they've stayed in it is on the players. So, like, I look at the Red Sox and say, I don't know how you can be, look at them at this stage, 34-32, after 66 games, I don't know how you could look at them and feel good about it. I'm going to give you a little bit of research that our new intern, Cam, did. Okay, regarding Red Sox being 34-32 or worse and making the playoffs and how often that has happened, both in, you know, modern baseball, meaning in the wild card era and pre-wild card era. Okay, I'll give you some of those numbers here in just a second. First, we'll get back to your calls, and Luke in Worcester on Ortiz. Go ahead, Luke.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. So 04 and 07, I was in the military, missed those World Series. I got out in 11, so I was there for the 13 series. And after the bombing and everything, I felt like David Ortiz dragged that team kicking and screaming into the playoffs, through the playoffs, and into the World Series, and then put on a show for the ages in the World Series. He was the emotional leader. He was the clutch leader. He did everything except for pitching, and thank goodness we had John Lester for that. But my prayers are with him, and he was, in my lifetime, he was the greatest Boston Red Sox player.
Okay, so look, again, you're not going to get any argument from me. In terms of what he's given the community in 2013 is obviously linked to David Ortiz, right? These jerseys wearing today, they don't say Red Sox, they say Boston, right? Not to mention the money line that we all remember. Tom's in Quincy. Good, Tom.
Hey, what's up, Tony? Hey, I called to talk about the Rangers, but, I obviously need to mention how, you know, I talked to you about baseball and a lot of different calls, and I never thought I'd be calling about something like that news with Ortiz.
Yeah, so. No, listen, none of us like it, Tom. I mean, like the fact that it, that it's something that we have to talk about, because it's just not, you know, again, it's a scary thing, but just be quick.
Yeah, it's awful. What I wanted to say was, I spoke to you Friday. We talked about the upcoming series with the Rays. I was hoping for a split. Obviously, they got smoked. I haven't seen baseball play that poorly in a long time. The only person that did anything all weekend was Price. And now you got these guys coming in from Texas who you're actually chasing for the wild card. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to sustain anything that they can bring after what they showed on the weekend.
So, Tom, I'll tell you what. It's a good point. Forget the Yankees. Forget Tampa. Beat Texas. Again, Pete Abe writes in today's Globe. Excellent column. Since May 17th, the Red Sox have played two weekend series against the Astros, then single weekend series against the Yankees and Rays. 13 games in all against the three best teams in the American League. They went 4-9. They've been outscored by 17 runs. Overall, they're 9-17, Abraham writes, against teams that currently have a winning record. He goes on, okay? And I told you, he writes a core field at a lineup that looked like something from a spring training road game, and then says, it's hard to ignore how far and how quickly they have fallen behind the Rays, Yankees, and Astros. Benintendi has been a distressingly average player. Martinez has now missed 8 games because of back issues, and the Sox will probably stop playing him in the outfield. Mookie Betts, for all he insists that it's not the case, looks like a player who wishes he had taken a contract extension when he had the chance. Moreland and Pierce can't stay healthy. Chavis has struck out 31 times in his last 64 at-bats. Nathan Eovaldi had a setback with his elbow and won't be joining the rotation as soon as hoped. The depth starters the Sox have used are 2-6 with a 7.51 ERA. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? Bills and Whitman. Go ahead, Bill.
Tony, is it okay if I just change to what happened this weekend?
Of course. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. You know, Saturday afternoon was the microcosm of what's going on this year and what's going on last year. They're down 9-2, bottom of the ninth inning. The game's over, okay? But they get second and third with nobody out to start the ninth inning. And I'm not thinking they're going to come back, but I just wanted to see them finish strong. Chopper to the pitcher, pop up to the shortstop, Nunez strikes out on four pitches. And that was in that first game. And, you know, that's frustrating because last year, you look at the game last year, a couple of games last year, you know, there was a game in Atlanta, they're down 7-1 in the eighth inning, you know, in early September with a 10-game lead in the division. And they came back and won that game. And you had said right after that, they're winning it all. They're just meant to win it all after they won a game like that. And I know that it's obviously gone different this year than last year, but that right there just tells me, like, no fight to finish that game.
Bill.
And I heard, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
No, I heard you starting the program talking about their opportunities with Snell early yesterday when they had guys on base and they had a chance to get to him early and they failed to do so. And, you know, it's just kind of the way it's been. It's just so frustrating. It really is.
Bill, second and third, nobody out. They struck out three times. Can't even put the ball in play. $240 million payroll. And I know it was Vasquez, it was Chavis. I don't even remember who the third one was. I mean, it was, you know, Bogarts was one of them too in that sequence, by the way. Nobody can put the ball in play. Nobody can put the ball in play. So there's now Cora has said game planning is a big part of this. You know what game planning means? Preparation. Knowing what a pitcher's going to throw you in a certain count. Knowing where it's going to be, whether you're going to chase it or not. We're going up there and having an idea of what you're going to look for. And you know who doesn't game plan? A team that's not focused and a team that doesn't think it has to do it anymore because it just won last year. That's who doesn't game plan. The Red Sox. They're just not mentally, they're not there. 34-32. Let me take one more call, and then I want to get to these numbers that our intern looked up. Go ahead. Phil's in North Brookfield. Says he has ties to the Dominican. Go ahead, Phil.
Hello, yeah. I was married to a woman from the Dominican, and I used to travel there to all my vacations and go to San Domingo, and I never felt safe there in all the 10 years that I've been going over there and visiting her and then staying there for 3-4 weeks at a time. And
okay.
Stuff.
Yeah. So Phil, listen, I don't want to turn this into entirely a referendum on the Dominican Republic. Okay. Because again, I was there a long time ago. I know the stories that are in there in the news. I'm just telling you, your experience in the Dominican Republic, in theory, should be different from David Ortiz's. David Ortiz might be the most recognizable person in the Dominican Republic, other than maybe Pedro. I mean, those two guys down there, you have to understand what baseball players mean to that culture down there. Baseball players are what they are known for. That's the identity of the whole country. It's producing good major league ball players. That's what they've done for a country that is that small. And again, it's really half an island. It's not the whole island, because the other half, I think, is Haiti, right? Double check that for me. My geography sucks. But half of the island is Haiti. Half of it is the Dominican Republic. It's not even the whole island. So think of it, the population of an area that small, but they pump out ball players like nobody's business, and a lot of them are great. Ortiz down there is a rock star. So Americans have bad experience in the Dominican. David Ortiz and Pedro, guys like that, they own the island. They own it. I don't know any other way to tell you that. Quickly on back to the Red Sox here, Steven in Somerville. Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, just going off of the previous caller, the day game of the doubleheader Saturday, I feel like personally that the game shouldn't even gone to 9-2. I mean, it's 5-2 top nine, and you throw out a bozo that I've never even heard of in my whole entire life. You just kind of throw the game away at that point. Don't you agree, Tony?
Yeah, Steven, look, the game's over at 9-2. They're losing these games early. And their situational play sucks. And that's the part that should really agitate you the most, is the situational play. You get into a 4-1 game in the middle innings, you're the long man, Colton Brewer. You can't throw a strike. Now, some of that goes on Dombrowski, because Colton Brewer has always had problems throwing strikes. So he walks two guys, then there's a ground ball to first, and you throw it away, you can't turn the double play. Then there's a wild pitch and the run scored. Can you guys do anything? You can't throw strikes. You can't feel the ground, and then you throw it in the dirt, and the catcher can't catch it. That is the definition of ineptitude. That is inept. That's not just losing to good teams. That's inept. That's bad baseball. Bad. It's embarrassing, frankly, 34 and 32. I'll tell you what those numbers mean when we come back. First, time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Rafael Devers, who didn't play yesterday. Last 10 games, 291, 5 doubles, 6 homers, 18 RBI. This is a good guy to sit against a team like Tampa that's in front of you when you need to win. Let's sit our hottest player. That's a good move. Really, they're not managing well either when you get right down to it. Situationally, all across, talk about sucking situationally across the board. I'll get you those stats on the Red Sox record and what it means when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Big Y. Mike Minor is pitching against the Red Sox tonight, left-hander for the Rangers, and as a prior caller said, important series. The Red Sox historically, again, I'm just this roster of players has annihilated this guy. 309 average, 900 OPS. Mookie Betts, 3-for-7, home run, 429 average, and OPS of almost 1,600. It's only 7 at-bats, but Mookie annihilates this guy. Has never struck out against him either. And, you know, they got to get Mookie Betts going. That's a separate conversation for later in the week, by the way. I'm on the verge of selling. I'm ready to sell. Mookie's on the list, but we'll get to that later in the week. Talk about being a total, talk about a total dink move, huh? Throwing that one at you. We'll talk about it later. Chris Sale against the Rangers. Again, the current roster, 168 average, 507 OPS. Owns these guys. On paper, this game tonight should be a blowout. But to do that, the Red Sox actually have to be able to put the ball in play with men on base and have their pitchers not walk guys and turn a double play and not throw wild pitches in the dirt that allow runners to score. So we'll see how that goes. Nonetheless, as Drubal Cabrera is one of the few guys who has hit Sale. 2 home runs, 4 doubles. When he hits them with power, too. 10 hits, 6 for extra bases, 9 RBI. He's got an OPS over 800, which against Sale is obviously a good number. We'll get to Adam Jones here in a minute. I want to give you these numbers, and we'll do more on them later in the week.
Just real quick, because I saw a number about the Rangers that's kind of interesting, because obviously, you know, you got to be concerned about this team in terms of the wild card standings and everything.
Sure.
You know, the Red Sox have sucked in opening games in all their series so far this year.
Yeah.
So have the Rangers. So something has to give. They're 5-16 in series opening games so far.
Oh, good. Maybe the game will get rained out and neither one of them will win. Seriously, though. Like, that's like the irresistible force and the immovable object, except...
Yeah.
In reverse.
Right.
Right.
A war of attrition of suck.
Right. When two teams who suck play one another, who loses? That's like the tree falling in the forest. If nobody wants to win it, who does? Just quickly, the Red Sox are 34-32 after 66 games. In their World Series years, they've never been less than 12 games over and gotten into the playoffs. Okay, at this stage, after 66 games, in all of their World Series years, they were a minimum of 12 games over. This team is 2 games over. And if I were to say to you, Murray, and let me just add, in the wild card era,
mm-hmm.
they have never been at this record and made the playoffs. OK, Okay, so the wild card era has changed because there's now the fifth team and you get into that play-in game.
Right.
Okay, but in the wild card era, they have never played this poorly through 66 games and made the playoffs. Two times in their history, they have been 34-32 after 66 games and made the playoffs. One of them should be easy because it was one of the great turnaround years in Red Sox history.
Okay.
67.
Oh, all right. Okay, yeah.
Okay, that team was, you know, played to go 34-32 to start that year was a big achievement.
Yeah, still okay. Lost.
And then, but they got better along the way, yeah, and they got to the World Series. Okay, fine. The only other team to play this poorly this far into the season and make the playoffs was the 1988 team.
Ah, I knew it.
Okay? That was Morgan Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that team got its ass kicked in the playoffs. They had no right being there. They finished with 88 wins. They got in and they got their asses kicked. And that was the end of that. It was a good story for a little while, about a month, and then that was it. They got absolutely smoked because at the end of the day, they really were nothing more than an average team, which in my by my definition means they blew.
Just crapping on my childhood.
But anyway, Adam Jones is coming up here at 7 o'clock. What do you got, Pac-Man?
Well, we have 5 full hours all the way until midnight, plenty to get to. On the show, we'll keep our eyes on the latest on David Ortiz on his way to Boston. So if and when that happens, we'll be sure to pass along the latest news there. And we're going to get to the Bruins, their victory last night in St. Louis, what it means for Game 7 on Wednesday night. And I think we can't officially, and thank God for this, we can't officially throw out the Bozak no call on Achari, right? Like, that officially doesn't matter anymore, right?
Agreed.
Bruins won the game. Now they're back on home ice. It's a winner-take-all scenario, so thank God that call's officially out of the way. We have some thoughts on that, too.
Okay, Jones and Arcane coming up next. And again, I don't know if I actually said this at the beginning of the show, but certainly our thoughts and prayers are with David Ortiz. We all know what he means to this city and certainly to his native Dominican Republic. Murray has got your headlines. Jones and Arcane have you for the balance of the night. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.